Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Dan Wiederer. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
How's the body clock? How was you recovered?
Not quite. So I was up this morning at 4:15, so it puts me on your schedule. But my schedule, I'm still a little bit backed up, so I got to get that figured out here in the next couple of days.
Overall, how did you handle the trip yourself? How did you enjoy it? And what was your biggest takeaway from the victory for the Bears?
Yeah, I told you guys that trip that way, going from here to there, wrecked me. And I was pretty messed up on Friday trying to make that adjustment with 2 hours of plane sleep and going right from the airport to the hotel shuttle to the Bears practice facility. So that was a pretty busy, crazy day. But to get out there in that environment, to see kind of that country side landscape that they had to practice in, it was pretty surreal, pretty cool stuff that they had there. And my biggest takeaway is you've got a team now, David, here that seems fully capable of taking inferior opponents and telling them that they're inferior. To be able to handle these last two games the way that they have, haven't trailed for a second after halftime in the three-game winning streak, it tells you got a group now that can play complementary football and make plays in all three phases to win your football games. And so it should make the last half of the schedule, last 11 games rather, pretty exciting and pretty relevant for the Bears.
I'm curious, Dan, when you look back on that trip, is there anything that will stand out or that you will remember? It was interesting to talk to DJ Moore because just from a playing standpoint, he said they felt that Jacksonville didn't have enough time and that they were going to go after them and be aggressive with them because they felt that they were going to be a little bit jet-lagged in the game.
Yeah, and you know, in comparing it to the experience of 2019 when the Bears went later in the week and themselves came out very flat in that first half against the Raiders, it felt like the exact opposite, where the Bears were the team that was rested and ready to go and the Jaguars were a little bit flat. And now obviously the Bears offensively didn't get off to a great start in that first quarter. But once they woke up in the second quarter and put together that 216-yard quarter that put them in firm control of the game, you're like, wow, they're ready to roll here. And so I do think there's something to that. I mean, I know personally, it's just anecdotal, but for myself that, you know, getting adjusted over there takes a while. And I don't know that those teams that go late in the week have a great advantage in doing that. And so I think DJ's probably right that there was an advantage for the Bears, both physically and mentally, going into that game and feeling sharper than their opponents.
What changed after the first two three and outs in your mind? Why did the offense suddenly get to the point where it started out slow and kind of clunky, and then all of a sudden the Bears score 35 again?
Yeah, you know, they haven't started well at all. You know, six straight games where the opponent has scored first. The Bears have been pretty lethargic in the first quarter most of the year. It's something they've got to get figured out. But once it clicked in, it was really clicking, David. And when you see Caleb get comfortable, you then see him get confident. And when you get into that flow within a game where you're getting the line, where you're understanding what you're seeing, where you know where your answers are, it's pretty impressive. And you know, we were joking that this is the first time in the Super Bowl era that they've scored five touchdowns offensively in back-to-back games. Like, that's mind-blowing. And when you hear you know, Keenan Allen relay the anecdote after the game on Sunday that Montez Sweat was getting frustrated that the Bears offense was staying on the field too much and preventing him from having the opportunity to go out and do his thing and go after Trevor Lawrence. It's really ironic for those of us who have lived a different kind of frustration from the Bears defense for decades. Now the Bears defense is getting mad at the offense because they're sustaining too many drives and the defense is bored on the sideline.
Well, you know, it was interesting because they did not defer. They took the ball, and it's the first time I can remember them doing that this year. And it seemed as if they really did want to get out on offense and make some things happen. Then they commit a penalty before the first kickoff, and they go three and out in two series. And as they do every week, they end up trailing early. They go down a field goal, and you're just sitting there watching this, like, what? You know, what the hell happened to this great first 15 and everything? And then lo and behold, they get a little rhythm going. They they kind of get the kid out of the huddle, and boom, they're moving like all get out, and they're scoring tons of points.
Yeah, well, and you talk about that start, the fastball that Caleb Williams threw into the face mask of Matt Pryor was one of those moments where, with the rest of the country having no other games to watch, it was all over social media. It's like, oh, the Bears quarterback is at it again. You know, it's a new name and a new guy, but they're still chucking balls into the helmets of their offensive linemen. And then for the rest of the day, Caleb sort of found that groove. And it's really impressive. And look, like, the Bears don't have to apologize for the schedule they were given. There's no question that the last four games have been, like, the ideal confidence springboard for an evolving offense with a rookie quarterback. And we knew going into Sunday that Jaguars pass defense was pretty poor. But still, you've got to make the plays. And when you, in particular, see the two touchdown throws that Caleb made to Keenan, you know, I was joking with Mark Grody on the podcast yesterday that like, in years past, both of those plays, we would have had a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday discussion on whether anybody was open. You know, it would have been like, oh, the quarterback didn't throw it, or he got sacked, or he ran for 3 yards because no one was open on the play. And Caleb said, well, there's a big-time receiver over there, and he's NFL open, and I'm going to make a high-level throw, one to the back shoulder of the back of the end zone, the other the fade that Keenan just had to put his hands up and catch. And you say, that's what a standout quarterback does. That's what a high-level quarterback does in moments when you're down there to score. You make big-time plays. And those two plays, to me, were really impressive. The other two, obviously, were good play designs that left Cole Kmet wide open. And so now you've got this whole library of success that you've had over the last month that then gives you obvious confidence that you can continue to replicate that as you go forward.
This segment with Dan Weider brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com. You mentioned your guy Kmet. He had a big day with two touchdowns. He also served as the emergency long snapper. The Bears addressed that need yesterday by signing Jake McQuaid to the practice squad. Dan, Scott Daly still out with the knee injury. You have Patrick Scales coming back from back surgery. What are the Bears' options, and what does it look like at the long snapper position? Because it's not one you can take for granted.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I was putting a bet on it, I would bet that Jake McQuaid would be handling your snaps in Washington against the Commanders, and then you have to just kind of feel out how Scott Daly's recovering. It seems to me from everything we've heard that Patrick Scales is still a few weeks away from even being cleared to practice. So I don't see that on the immediate horizon. And so now you've got to make the best of things. Obviously Cole did his best on Sunday. And obviously the Bears benefited from not having to punt after Scott Daly left the game. And so Cole only had to handle the five PAT snaps and one field goal snap. And he did his best. Like I say, it wasn't perfect, but it was good enough to get them through that game. But that's not where you want to lean. And so it looks like Jake McQuaid will be the emergency option. They signed him to the practice squad. They'll have the opportunity to elevate him in game week. And I would bet that be the direction that they go in the short term. A little bit surprised that Scott Daly's injury isn't worse, just given how quickly they ruled him out after taking him to the sideline on Sunday in London. And so that's encouraging news. And then when he gets back, if he gets back, then you've got an option to make some decisions.
It was disappointing to me that Kyler Gordon was having an MRI the only time Flusie's meeting with the media this week. I know we'll learn more, presumably Monday, but they don't need an injury report until next Wednesday. I mean, I get it. I understand what the timetable is. I'm just curious if you have any knowledge about anything to do with Jaquan Brisker, anything to do with with Gordon or with what was it, a calf injury that
put Stevenson
in a walking boot. Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. And so at 4:15 this morning, I actually booted up the laptop and was writing my Bears of the Bye defensive review that you can read later this week in the Chicago Tribune. And the big second half question is, how healthy can the defense stay,
right,
you know, down the stretch of this season? And so here you've got now Jaquan Brisker, who we talked about, has missed games in three consecutive seasons due to a concussion. Got to keep an eye on that. Kyler Gordon missed almost a month of training camp earlier this year with an undisclosed injury that the Bears only referred to as tightness. Is it the same hamstring? Not sure. Got to dig into that and see if there's something more to that. Worth keeping an eye on. As you mentioned, Tyreek Stevenson leaves the locker room Sunday in a walking boot with a calf injury suffered in practice out there in London. Got to keep an eye on that. Now, to their credit, the backups came in and played really well. That's Hicks, that's Blackwell, it's Jalen Jones. They all handled their business as the next man up. But obviously for a team that's trying to make the playoffs, trying to do so in a really tough division, you got a pretty thin margin for error, and you're going to need your health to be one of those X factors for the remainder of the season. And so good for them that they've got the depth in the secondary to withstand that a little bit, but obviously you want those top-line guys back as soon as possible, and there's certainly some concern with all three of those guys.
Dan, there have been four NFL trades in the last couple of days, beginning with Roy Robertson Harris going from the Jags to the Seahawks, and yesterday's flurry of activity. Has that changed the way you expect the next 3 weeks to go before the deadline for the Bears? Do you think that they will be more active than you anticipated? Are teams going to be making more deals than we expected?
Well, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, it's really heated up more than it ever had been before. And so you've got this kind of landscape now where, particularly with the expanded playoff push, that teams feel like they're alive longer than they used to. And you feel like you got a chance to go after some things, and some other teams are going through fire sales and doing their thing like the Bears did a few years ago when they offloaded Quinn and Roquan in back-to-back weeks. And so, look, like, I think Ryan Poles is always exploring. He's always trying to figure out what his needs are, what's available there. I think, David, as you and I have talked about for a long time, he also has great discipline in understanding how to navigate that path without getting too overeager. And so it'll be really interesting to see if they find anything that intrigues them enough to make a move, or if they feel really good about where they're headed with what they've got right now. But certainly you've got a team right now that has positioned itself to be very relevant down the last 11 weeks of the season. It should be fun for all of us, and then we'll just kind of see what the front office decides to do to bolster that.
If they can make a move, what would they do? I mean, if you could gift them a move, would it be on the offensive line, on the defensive line? Wouldn't another pass rusher, Hassan Reddick? It's a joke.
Max Crosby.
Yeah, Max Crosby.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Miles Garrett.
Find the money for those guys. Yeah. Create your team, right? Like, let's find the Madden creative team. Maybe we can get, you know, Lawrence Taylor from 1986 in, and he can come in and
that's what the Jets are doing.
That pass rush.
Yeah, they're getting guys from 1986.
But no, like, I think the offensive line, you know, if you could find somebody that wanted to give you a center that is a higher powered guy, that would be something to look at. Obviously you're pretty set in the receiving core. You feel pretty good about your backfield. They've got a lot of positions to feel really good about right now. And so, look, like, they're hitting their stride a little bit. Now they've had the benefit of good health for the first six games of the season for the most part. And they've had a really nice friendly schedule, as we've well documented. But they've handled their business through it, and now again, it's going to be really fun to see them go into that big stage game in Week 8 in Washington with the hype of Jaden versus Caleb being the thing that the whole country is going to be talking about probably for 2 weeks.
Thanks,
great
Dan.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Welcome back.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk soon.
Stay on that schedule. It's good for you.
Yeah. Welcome back to Dan Weider. Mark Grody is joining Dan Weider from now on the Take the North podcast. He's replacing me on the Take the North podcast. Doing a great job.
Is there bad blood there?
No, no bad blood. No, I'm just taking a lot going on. So with the Chicago Sports Network, it's great that Grody.